This conference will now be recorded.
Noel, Joshua, Adam, and Stephen.
Adam, Stephen, Joshua, Noel, Rob, and me.
Yep.
All right, no Rodney, no Kay, and Jim. All right, good. All right, are we ready?
Let me know, I'll unmute you.
Okay, the time is now 10 a.m. Therefore, I call to order the teleconference meeting of the Harker Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for May 27th, 2020. For those citizens listening over the telephone, please refrain from commenting until called upon to do so during the public comment periods. For the commission's please state your name for the record at the time you speak. The P&Z consists of volunteers appointed by the City Council. We coordinate with the City staff, owners, developers, and agents and residents to provide the City Council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the City Council for decision. Secretary will please note all commissioners that are present and ones that are absent. I show that we are missing Rodney Schein and Commissioner Anderson and Commissioner Carey, but we do have everyone else, and we also have Michael Stagmeyer as an alternate commissioner as well. So we are missing the other alternate commissioners. Are y'all ready down there, ladies? Okay. And we have a quorum. And I appreciate everybody calling in today and doing this so the city can continue with the work we need to do. Thank you all for your time involved with this today. Let's see here. The first order of business can be approval of the minutes from the regular meeting held on April 29th, 2020. Do I have a motion?
This is Noel Webster. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
This is Stephen Watford. I'll second it.
Commissioner Watford. Okay. Any discussion, commissioners? Okay. Now it's going to be time to vote on this. At this time, if you could please say your name and give your vote. I think, are y'all going to call for it? Okay, very good. Tiffany will call and ask here in a moment.
Vice Chairman Robinson, what is your vote for the approval of minutes for April 29th, 2020?
Do you want us to repeat our name before we vote? Yeah. Okay, Vice Chairman Robinson votes approval of the minutes.
Chairman Webster, your vote for approval of the minutes for April 29th, 2020?
Noel Webster, aye.
Commissioner McCann, your vote for approval of the minutes for April 29th, 2020?
Commissioner McCann, I vote to approve.
Commissioner Parker, your vote for approval of minutes for April 29th, 2020?
Commissioner Parker, vote to approve.
Commissioner Watford, your vote for approval of the minutes for April 29th, 2020?
Commissioner Watford approved.
That passes 6-0. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Chairman Robinson, your vote for the approval of minutes for April 29th, 2020.
Chairman Robinson, I vote for approval.
It does pass 6-0.
Okay. Next item. Okay, we have a report of City Council action resulting from the May 12th meeting with Mr. Mullins for the city.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. My name is Joseph Mullins, Director of Planning and Development for the City of Harker Heights. We had three cases go to the City Council on May 12th that were forwarded from this body. The first one was Z2006, which was the conditional use permit for the hotel going in, you know, essentially adjacent to Carlevin Park, and they were asking for a CUP to allow a deviation from the B4 requirements of height and allow a 4-foot hotel. You recommended approval 6-0, and the council did approve it 5-0. The second case, Z2007, was a rezoning from R1 to R1R at 11365 Orland Drive. You recommended approval 6-0, and the council did approve it 5-0. And finally, it was P2001, which is preliminary slash final plat approval for the Curry Niche, which was at 1703 Pueblo Trace. It's the property immediately behind the middle school. You approved it 6-0, and the council also approved it at a vote of 5-0. Does anybody have any questions?
All right, next can be recognition of affidavits for conflict of interest. Mr. Mullis?
We've received none, sir.
Very good, sir. Next be, item is citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens who wish to speak at this time? Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and go to under agenda item six, our public hearings. Our first case be Z20-08. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change the zoning designation from R1 One Family Dwelling District to R1R Rural One Family Dwelling District on property described as Tract 20, Lakeside Hills, Section 2, a subdivision in Bell County, according to the plat of record in Cabinet A, Slide 43-C. Plat records of Bell County, Texas contain 6.11 acres, generally located at 10518 Meadow Circle Drive, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. We're here today to discuss the property shown on this slide, 10518 Meadow Circle. The property owner is petitioning for a rezone from R1 to R1R for the purposes of building a large accessory structure and potentially housing various animals on their property. I believe goats and chickens being what they indicated in their application. Both of those types of uses, a large accessory structure and animals, are appropriate for an R1R zoning, and so staff brings this before you today. The next slide is going to highlight the existing property. As you can see from the previous slide and from this side, that it's undeveloped property. This shows a photo from Orland Circle, from Meadow Circle, showing that the property is unoccupied. The next slide shows the current zoning for the area. As you can see, that property is currently zoned R1, and it is surrounded by other properties zoned R1. Off to the east is our ETJ, and that is a subdivision that exists outside of the city of Harker Heights, but it is also single-family residences, as you can see on the map. And finally, you can see that 4290 High Oak Drive is zoned R1R as well. So again, this area is basically what the R1R zoning district was created for, and so the applicant's request would be in line with the existing zoning and uses for the area. The next slide shows the existing land use map, and it confirms that this property is vacant. There are numerous vacant properties within the area, and there are also single family properties within the area. So the applicant's request to rezone to R1R is in line with the uses that are already in this area. The next slide is going to show the future land use map as developed with the 2007 comprehensive plan for the city of Harker Heights. In that map, it shows this area as developing as single family residential. And so therefore the applicant's proposed use and rezoning would be in line with that. The R1R zoning is a single family residential. It just simply allows for more agricultural development on the property, including larger accessory structures and livestock, which is again the intent of the future land use map and the comprehensive plan, and therefore the applicant's proposed rezoning is in harmony with those. The final slide shows the notification map in which the city sends out letters to all property owners within the 400-foot buffer of the applicant's property. Because of a change in state law, and out of courtesy, we also sent letters to the people in the ETJ, giving them the opportunity to address this issue as well. To date, we've sent out 14 letters, and we've received no responses in favor or recommending denial. So that being the case, however, after having spoken to the applicant and making an analysis of the surrounding area and the potential uses, staff does recommend approval of the rezone request to go from R1 to R1R for 10518 Meadow Circle, based on the fact that, one, the rezoning request is consistent with the future land use map, and two, the proposed use would likely not have any adverse impacts on adjoining properties, especially given the size of their property and the adjoining properties. With that being said, I believe the applicant or representative is here to answer any questions that you may have, and I would certainly be happy to answer any as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mullis. Any questions for Mr. Mullis? Who's here representing this request? Can you please state your name and your address?
Justin Carter. My current address is 2524 Jackson Drive in Hope Heights, Texas.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carter. If you could just tell us a little bit about your plans there, sir.
Basically, we bought the property to eventually build a house on, and also on that property, our consideration would be to possibly have maybe goats or chickens on it at one point, and a shop-like structure or structure for maybe housing those goats or chickens.
Very good. Okay. Commissioners, any of y'all have any questions here for Mr. Carter? Okay, Mr. Carter, please have a seat.
All right, thank you.
All right. Does anyone in the audience want to address this matter? Is there anyone in the audience who would like to address this matter? All right, commissioners, at this time I'm asking for a motion on this. Do we have a motion?
Hi. Mr. Commissioner McCann, I recommend motion for approval as a demonstrator.
Good. Do I have a second?
Commissioner Stephen Watford would second.
Thank you, Commissioner Watford. Okay. Commissioner, is there any discussion? Okay. All right, commissioners, we're going to call for a vote.
Vice Chairman Robinson, what is your vote for Z-2008?
Robinson votes yes.
Commissioner Webster, what is your vote for Z-2008?
Noel Webster votes yes.
Commissioner McCann, what is your vote for Z-2008?
Commissioner McCann votes yes.
Secretary Parker, what is your vote for Z-2008?
Secretary Parker.
Secretary Parker, are you still with us?
Adam Parker.
I am. Can you hear me?
We can. Yes, sir. How would you like to vote, sir?
Adam Parker votes yes.
Did you state your name, sir?
Adam Parker.
Can we have your date of birth? I'm kidding.
Commissioner Watford, what is your vote for Z-2008?
Commissioner Stephen Watford votes yes.
Chairman Robinson, what is your vote for Z-2008?
I say we approve it, ma'am.
It passes 6-0.
Congratulations, Mr. Carter. You have a great day, sir.
I thank you all, and we appreciate your consideration.
Okay. Next will be Z-20-09. Conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change the zoning designation from R3 multifamily dwelling district to R21 two-family infill dwelling district on property described as lots 1 through 5, block 3, Kern Terrace, second extension, Parker Heights, per plat of record in cabinet A, slide 225-A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and 1.241 acres out of the V.L. Evans survey, abstract 288, generally located southwest of the intersection of Jamie Road and North Mary Jo Drive, currently addressed as 200-202, 204, 206, and 208 in Jamie Road, and 200 Jan Circle, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. As you can see from the map that's about to be on the screen, this is property that we've seen before this body. In fact, on August 28th of 2019, this property came before you with new owners, and they requested the rezoning, which was a combination of R1M, single-family manufactured homes, and RMH, manufactured home park, to R3, which is the multifamily dwelling district. Since that time, this property has been sold, and the new owners wish to develop a duplex subdivision on this property. And so therefore, you're going to see two cases tonight. One is this rezone request, and the second one, pending a successful recommendation of approval, will be a request for approval of a plat for that property to subdivide it. So the applicant wants to rezone that property to R2I, which is the single family in, or the two family infill dwelling district. As you recall, it's virtually identical to the standard R2, except it allows for higher density. So therefore, smaller lot sizes and slightly smaller setbacks to allow us to infill these smaller lots on the north side of town. The R2I zoning district is, in fact, geographically restrained to the north side of town, so it was designed for these types of properties, and so the applicant is seeking a logical development for these properties. Page 16 of the slides which we were just on shows the property is vacant. There were manufactured homes on that property. They have been removed by the property owners to allow for development on this property. So what you see is the existing Jan Circle, which is a private road, and then some vacant lots. The next slide shows the existing land use map. It's currently vacant, and so that's why, despite the aerial being dated from 2019, which showed the manufactured homes, those are removed. So these properties are now vacant. Across the street are duplexes that are being developed. Again, the aerial map from 2019 shows a series of single family manufactured homes. Those have since been removed and are being replaced by duplexes. I believe most of those are in some state of construction. The ones farther south being closer to completion, and I believe the last lot closest to Mary Jo is still vacant but framed up and ready to start construction. So the existing land use shows that there's a lot of vacant land, but there's also some developing land in the area as well. The next slide is the zoning map, and as you can see, this area is truly a mixed residential and commercial development area. To the south, you can see the red, which is the B4 zoning district. These are properties that are actually fronting Veterans Memorial Boulevard. It's not on the map. If we had zoomed out, you would see that Veterans Memorial Boulevard is to the south of this property, and so all of that red is the zoning along that. Currently, the property is zoned R3, as is the adjacent property, which does eventually connect to Veterans Memorial Boulevard, but surrounding it are R2I zonings, which are what the applicant is pursuing as well. So their requested zoning would be similar to the zoning in the area. And finally, you see in the top right some single-family manufactured home district zoning as well. On the next slide, you see the future land use map, which calls for mixed residential and a mobile home park in the area. Again, staff has consistently argued that stick-built development would be superior in the long run to manufactured home development. So while part of that tract calls for mobile home park, the other tract does call for mixed residential, and staff feels that that would still be in line with what's required of the future land use map and the comprehensive plan, and frankly would be more in line with the comprehensive plan. So in other words, the proposed use of the developer of putting duplexes in there, staff believes is superior to the proposed use of a manufactured home park for half of that property. The next slide shows the notification map. As you can see, within the 400-foot boundary, it says that we notified 14 properties, which is kind of misleading. There's clearly more than 14 lots there. However, the majority of those lots are owned by single owners. And so that's why you see 14 letters, because a single developer bought most of the property formerly owned by Adelaide K. Moss, which included most of the property on Juanita and Jamie Road and the both sides of Mary Jo. So again, you're looking at one or, you know, you're looking at one owner for large tracts of land and then several smaller owners for the others. So that's why you see 14 properties being notified, but the map clearly shows more than that. That being said, we received no responses recommending approval or denial for this project. But despite that, staff does recommend approval. As I've kind of outlined before, the proposed use provides duplex homes. The applicant is actually an advocate for veterans and veterans' rights, and so he intends for this development to serve our veterans and our active duty members. So they have given a lot of thought to the development in this area, and they want something that's harmonious with the developments that are showing up, hence the R2I. So that being said, staff does recommend approval of this rezoning because it's compatible with the existing and soon-to-be future uses of the area, and because it likely wouldn't have any adverse impacts on the adjoining uses and zoning districts. Frankly, we're going from either abandoned or vacant properties to occupied properties, and staff feels that's a good thing for the area. So that being said, I believe representative of the applicant is here to answer any questions, and I would certainly answer any as well. Thank you.
Hey, commissioners, is there any questions for Mr. Mullis?
Yes, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Robinson, is the owner of this the same one who's developing the duplexes across the street?
No, sir. It is a different company that's okay. developing those.
Thank you.
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir.
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir, Commissioner Webster. Go ahead, sir.
I'm on the phone. Hey, just checking to make sure that's not in the floodplain.
Yes, Commissioner Webster, this is Joseph Melise. That piece of property is not in the floodplain. The floodplain does extend down from Nolan Creek, but it hits those properties adjacent, such as 220, 218, 216 Jamie Road and so forth. But in this particular instance, this property is not in the floodplain. And if we had shown you a photo from Jamie Road, you would have seen that there's some significant elevation difference along Jan Circle. So in fact, those lots are gonna have to front Jan Circle. They can't front Jamie Road because there's a significant height difference between those lots and the rest of the area.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Mullis? Okay. All right, who is here representing this request? Please state your name and your address.
Hello, my name is Mark Mayors. I'm a 30-year veteran, and I have two companies here in town, Soldiers First Real Estate and Military Standard Construction. This product will be under Military Standard Construction, and I am the only landowner for the 10 sites.
Hey, sir, what is your address?
So my address is in North Carolina, around Fort Bragg. Our office address?
1900 East Elms Road, Killeen.
And that's Lisa Story, my office manager and partner in both the construction company and the real estate firm here in the Fort Hood area.
Well, tell us about your project.
Say again.
What was that?
Tell us your plans.
Your plan?
Yeah, so, I mean, my plan is to build better houses for the same price of other companies in Killeen and make less money in Harker Heights and the area around here, make less money, but provide a better living condition for active duty soldiers that are affordable, and but they're also durable. This is, so for right now, the first 10 is where we're committed to, and then we'll see how it goes and see if we push forward maybe in the other available lots if they're available.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say, sir?
No, I would like to say that the city employees have really hit it out of the park for us. They've, in my opinion, gone above and beyond during this process. It's been a long and educational process for me. I just wanted to thank all the members that did all the work for us to get us to this point, because it's been amazing, and they've done a great job.
Thank you very much, sir. We'd like to hear from you. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Please stand by, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Does anyone in the audience wish to address this matter? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address this matter? Back here, commissioners, it's back to the commission here for a motion. Do I have a motion?
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir.
Make a motion to approve this request as written.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Do I have a second?
Commissioner Parker, second.
All right, thank you, sir. Thank you, Commissioner, Secretary Parker. Is there any commission or any discussion, commissioners? Is there any discussion? All right. Commissioners, it's time for us to call for a vote.
Vice Chairman Robinson, what is your vote for Z20-09?
Robinson votes yes.
Commissioner Webster, what is your vote for Z20-09?
Noah Webster votes yes.
Commissioner McCann, what is your vote for Z20-09?
Commissioner McCann votes yes.
Secretary Parker, what is your vote for Z20-09?
Secretary Parker votes yes.
Commissioner Watford, what is your vote for Z20-09?
Commissioner Watford, yes.
Chairman Robinson, what is, Robinson, I'm sorry. What is your vote for Z20-09?
Chairman Robinson votes for approval.
It passes 6-0.
Very good. Thank you very much, sir. All right, next one, guys, is going to be under item 7 is new business. Our case is P20-03, discuss and consider preliminary plat approval for Freedom Park subdivision on property described as lot 1, or excuse me, lots 1 through lot 5, block 3, Kern Terrace, second extension, Harker Heights, per plat of record in cabinet A, slide 225A, plat records of Bell County, Texas, and 1.241 acres out of the V.L. Evans Survey, abstract 288, generally located southwest of the intersection of Jamie Road and North Mary Jo Drive, currently addressed as 200-202, 204, 206, and 208 Jamie Road, and 200 Jan Circle, Harker Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner and members. This is the bookend for the case that we just looked at. It's the second part of the development process. We've covered the zoning. Now we're going to the platting, so it's the exact same piece of property. As you can see in its current configuration, it is divided up into five single-family lots that are supposed to be occupied by manufactured homes. You can see on the map that the trailer park that was there did not conform to those lots. And it was existing non-conforming as it was operated in the city. And then the southern half of that property is one lot that was zoned for a manufactured home park. And essentially the whole thing was one manufactured home park, with Jan Circle being the access point and Jan Circle acting as a private road. The applicant is here before you today to subdivide this property. You can see again in the photos that it was a vacant piece of property. They're subdividing it into approximately 10 lots of duplexes, which will hopefully, if approved by council, be zoned to R2I. What they're showing in this concept is they're showing three of these duplexes fronting Mary Jo, and in fact those three will be phase one of this development. So the initial phase of this project will be the units fronting Mary Jo. The second phase will be the internal units marked out on that map there. It's important to note that Jan Circle is going to remain a private road, and so the applicant will be required, and it's noted in the plat, to set up an HOA to maintain the road and any other community property should there exist. So as it stands, the plat is designed so that the road is a passage easement so that nobody can go fence it up in the future because it's its own tract, and that all of the utilities are under or within the road, so it's also a utility easement, because they are going to have to extend water and sewer along Jan Circle in order to serve the units inside the development, basically phase two. Phase one, as it sits, could be developed today, and so more than likely that will go to final plat very shortly after the preliminary plat is approved, because they won't have to install any city infrastructure. So at that point, they'll enter the final plat phase. And like I said, I suspect we'll see that very soon. And that won't come before this body, but it'll require the signature of the chairman and the vice chair, or the secretary. So that being said, we did go back and forth with the developer with our comments, which is the standard development practice. The applicant has answered all of the questions proposed by staff. And so staff does feel that because the applicant is in line with the requirements of the subdivision and platting codes of the city of Harker Heights, that we do recommend approval of this preliminary plat. The applicant is here. You just spoke to him, so he would be happy to answer any questions. And of course, I'd be happy to answer any as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mullis. Commissioners, is there any questions for Mr. Mullis?
I've got one again.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Robinson, with the previous trailers there, were they on septic or was it infrastructure? And does that, if it's infrastructure or septic, does that have to be dug up and removed before these duplexes be put in?
That's an excellent question, Vice Chair Robinson. This is Joseph Molis. Yes, they were served by existing sewer lines. They were sewer laterals that crossed throughout the property. We as a city do not allow laterals to cross property lines, so they will be required to remove the existing laterals and replace them with a city spec and dedicated to city sewer line. Same with the water.
Thank you.
I also need to note, I left it out of my presentation, Jan Circle is going to remain a private road. It does not meet the residential requirements for a street. It's narrower than a street, so it's also going to be designated as a fire lane and striped as such with no parking along Jan Circle. So that's why you see the rather large parking surfaces in front of these duplexes. It's to allow for enough off-street parking because there will not be on-street parking.
Along with the fire lane, will they have signage as well?
Yes, that's required by state law and our code that they have the signage, fire lane, no parking, tow-away zone.
Commissioners, do we have any other questions for Mr. Mullis?
This is Commissioner Watford. I guess that's what threw me off earlier. Back when we had that 09, we had on slide 19 showed half on Jan Circle. And then coming down on to this one on 03, apparently it's cut a different half. It's vertical. Yeah, vertical and horizontal.
Yes, sir, that is correct. So what's the current platting configuration is that half of this development is one lot. That's the southern half. The northern half is sliced up vertically into five lots, and so as shown in slide 22. And so the applicant is redividing the property into those 10 lots that we see that don't match this alignment. So they're basically erasing all those internal lines and redrawing them to fit the duplexes they want to put in and maintain Jan Circle. So that's what we're seeing in slide 24.
Okay. That explains that.
Noel Webster?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, just trying to figure out, or not figure out, but to understand the reasoning for having the driveways going on to Mary Jo for that phase one instead of being on Jan Circle.
Thank you, Commissioner Webster. This is Joseph Molis. The applicant can probably answer that more fully than I can, but I can tell you my understanding is because allowing them to front Mary Jo would allow them to develop this project in phases, and so they wouldn't have to make improvements to Jan Circle in order to do those first projects, because they're going to have to do some improvements to Jan Circle, including removing the existing speed bumps that are there. And they wouldn't want to do those improvements until they put in the water and sewer lines. And because of timing, they don't want to do the water and sewer for phase two ahead of time. I mean, obviously, there's a timing and there's a funding issue with that. You're going to want to develop phase one first, sell those units, and be able to take that money to start developing phase two. And so it makes more sense for phase one to front onto Mary Jo so that they can develop those funds for phase two.
Okay, I just wanted to know, because Mary Jo will definitely be the busier road, and so I just wonder, what was the reasoning behind that, so I understand it now. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, are there any other questions for Mr. Mullis? All right, now I'm going to go to the, who's here representing this request? State your name and your address, sir.
Mark Mayores. 1900 Elm.
And I wanted to add a little to the, we feel that the layout of the 10 plats will function the neighborhood better too, configured that way. In addition to everything Mr. Molise said.
How soon do you think you're gonna start this project, Bruce?
We as soon as possible.
So we're talking about having these done within the year probably?
So we hope to have, yes, we hope to have everything done no later than December 31st. We already have 4 of the 10 under contract with flexible closing dates. So there is a demand for them and many more that we've held off after phase one. So yes, we hope to be totally off this no later than 31 December. We hope earlier. We already have funding secured and they're just waiting for this final plat approval. And then we'll get under construction and do our first draw soon as possible. No, nothing else at this time.
All right, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Okay, commissioners, I take that back. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address this matter? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address this matter? Okay. All right, commissioners, any of y'all have a question here for the man? All right, it's back to us then, back to the commission here as far as a motion. Who would like to make a motion on this property? Commissioners, would anyone like to make a motion?
Secretary Parker moves to approve as presented.
Commissioner Robinson seconds.
Okay, I have a motion, I have a second. Is there any discussion, commissioners? All right, we're gonna go ahead and call for a vote then.
Vice Chairman Robinson, what is your vote for P20-03?
Robinson votes yes.
Commissioner McCann, what is your vote for P20-03?
Commissioner McCann votes yes.
Secretary Parker, what is your vote for P20-03?
Secretary Parker votes yes.
Commissioner Webster, what is your vote for P20-03?
Noel Webster votes yes.
Commissioner Watford, what is your vote for P20-03?
Commissioner Watford votes yes.
Chairman Robinson, what is your vote for P20-03?
Chairman Robinson votes for approval.
It passes 6-0.
Okay, thank you all very thank you all very much, everyone that showed up today. Is there any staff comments?
Yes, sir. I've got a few. First, I'd like to settle some business. Next month's meeting, we still don't know what the governor is going to allow and not allow for public gatherings. But it is staff's recommendation that we move to the regular meeting time, yes. Starting at 5:30. More than likely, it'll be the same format unless we're told differently, which would be a hybrid where we invite the commissioners to come physically to the building, but we'll probably, because of capacity issues, have to allow the public to phone in instead. So if that's if that meets with your approval, I'd like to go ahead and move next month's meeting to 5:30 p.m.
All right, commissioners, what do y'all say about that?
Commissioner Whiteford says, okay.
Noel Webster, okay.
Robinson, okay.
Commissioner McCann, okay.
Parker, I'm good with that.
Robinson, okay.
All right, thank you very much. Next, and the reason I suggested 5:30 is because we are going to have a workshop. Some of you may or may not know, but at the last council workshop, or two meetings before that, a citizen requested that the city address the issue of food trucks, and so staff workshopped the food truck issue with the council. The bottom line is our code really doesn't address food trucks at all. Anytime council, anytime city staff wants to make a decision or gets asked a question, we have to reference at least 7 different sections of the code of ordinances and try to infer what the intent was behind food trucks. So we've put together a workshop for the council that we move forward. Council thinks that we need to move forward and present an ordinance. So I would like to workshop in June a food truck ordinance with this body, get your input and so forth. So I guess your homework is to start looking into what you would or would not like to see with food trucks, including food truck courts. So we are looking at creating regulations for those as well. And so, you know, I've been ordered by the mayor to go to Austin and go to a bunch of food courts, so I'm going to do that. You know, I know. But no, Courtney and I are going to have to go hit a bunch of food truck courts and see how other cities do things. And I would recommend that you guys, you know, while you're out and about, do the same thing. See what you like, what you don't like.
Killer ones right there along the river.
Yes, they do. And in fact, that's one of the things we're looking at, because we think that the Waco ones may be actually on City of Waco property. And one of the things the council asked us to look at is, would that be appropriate for the city of Harker Heights? And so those are things we're going to look at. So give that some thought. The council's given us some thought. And if you want to hear what they said, that's all online. As with our meetings, they're recorded and they are stored with the minutes and the agendas. So you can actually listen to my presentation and see it. The slides should be online and hear the council's discussion on that. So it's a pretty powerful tool. Next, we had to pass an ordinance without bringing it before you. It was kind of an emergency in nature, but the city did adopt a BYOB ordinance to regulate the businesses that basically skirt TABC regulations as far as alcohol is concerned. They're not covered by TABC, and we found that a few of them were violating state law, in particular hours of operation. They were open until past 4 o'clock in the morning, and there has been at least one homicide and a couple of assaults and stabbings. And so all of these were after hours. And so with working with the police chief, we came up with a BYOB ordinance, which essentially puts the responsibility on the proprietor. So in other words, I mentioned there's basically a curfew. You're not supposed to be drinking in public, including public places like a business, after 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, if PD showed up, they wouldn't be ticketing the club. They'd be ticketing all of the individuals in there. And so, you know, in order to be effective, they'd have to issue several hundred tickets a night, you know, to do any kind of policing. And even then, you know, there's the fear that the club owner is just going to find new people to come visit the place. So the ordinance now puts the weight on the owner. They're responsible, and they can be charged with civil and criminal charges for violating this ordinance. So it was adopted in April, I believe April 14th, but it goes into effect June 1st. So we didn't know when the governor was going to open up clubs, so they actually opened up last weekend over Memorial Day weekend. So they had last weekend, and they'll have this coming up weekend to operate. But after that, if we find them in operation, so far none of them have received a BYOB permit. I believe what Painting with a Twist is the only one that submitted and received their permit. They've already been through the system. So we know it works. So that being said, if you guys see any clubs open that are BYOB after June 1st, please let me know, because I'll have to forward that to PD.
Well, I've got one thing I'd like to say to everyone. If y'all haven't been down Veterans Memorial Boulevard, not to the BYOB places, but to the air conditioner place we approved right there, just to the west of Ann Boulevard, those people have worked that place over and put in a beautiful building. Landscape, grass is going in. I did none of it at all. But they really went all out money-wise. Man, they really, have you been by there? Have you seen the place? And fabulously. So if you haven't been by there, you should go by and take a look at that, because it's one thing we put in that is literally my favorite thing on Veterans Memorial Boulevard, because how good it looks. So we have people that will come here and spend money and put in properties, fix properties up. We just got to make sure this city looks good. Doing a great job doing that. We just got to keep working at it every day. So thank you all very much.
I've got a couple more. Along those lines, you're probably going to have a case come before you, or actually you may not, but just so you know, we did talk to somebody that wants to build an office park built out of storage containers. So some pun intended out of the box thinking on that. And so you may see some kind of development go up with that. The last thing I wanted to announce, and I'm sorry for taking up all your time, is that, as most of you know, Lynn Drive has been under litigation for several years. Since 2012, the Building Standards Commission took about half of the units on Lynn Drive to the BSC. The BSC ordered that those buildings be demolished, and the City Council actually approved a resolution to fund the demolition, and the owner filed an injunction against the city and stayed any demolition, and then appealed the BSC's decision to district court. It went then to the state appellate court, and then went to the state Supreme Court. Well, on February 14th of this year, the state Supreme Court refused to hear the case, thereby agreeing by default with the appellate court. So we've won all of the appeals. So basically, the Supreme Court agreed. They didn't want to hear the case. They felt the appellate court got it right. Well, the applicant was allowed to file one final Hail Mary type of request, which was a motion for a rehearing. It's, you know, basically a pretty please, will you listen to us? And on May 8th of this year, that motion was denied. So we are awaiting official in writing confirmation from the Supreme Court. But once we get that, we will be meeting with the city attorney and more than likely moving forward very quickly with demolishing the units as part of that first lawsuit. That being said, we, as you remember, most of you are part of the Building Standards Commission in early 2019 when we took another set of units. I believe there were 10 that were ordered demolished. The property owner has appealed those as well that have not gone to appellate court. Everybody, our attorney and their attorneys, have been focused on the Supreme Court battle. You know, it's obviously our hope that with losing the first set that they'll give up on the second set, but we just don't know. But I know that several of you have been around since the very beginning, so I wanted to let you know that we do have that victory now. And like I said, when I get official word from the Supreme Court and our attorney, I'll let you guys know. That concludes my announcements.
All right. Is there anything else for anybody else? Nope. All right, we're going to close this out then at 10:48 a.m. Thank you all very much.